and thank you for joining me on another Magic with Zuby. Today is February 6, 2016, and today our main topic is going to be talking about deck archetypes. Now, it's going to be a real generalized overview of the main kind of deck archetypes that you can face up against. We're not going to go into some of the deeper ones like aggro control combo, aggro combo control, etc., etc. This is mainly going to be for, as my previous episode, for people that are going from the kitchen to FNM, and maybe they're not aware of all the different deck archetypes that there are that, you know, you can come up against. So, let's talk about the elephant in the room of the modern Pro Tour going on right now. Wow. It's been pretty good. I've actually been enjoying watching Limited even. That's been pretty fun. Everybody's doing, you know, better than expected. LSV got on there. Top 8. Frank Lepore from TCG Player got on top 8. That's pretty damn cool, especially for his first Pro Tour. The deck diversity is another big thing blowing up on Twitter right now, on Reddit, Facebook, everywhere. It's 6 Eldrazi decks and 2 Affinity decks. A lot of people are attributing this to Twin and Bloom being banned, that we wouldn't see this much, but if Twin and Bloom were still in the format, it probably would still be, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say it'd probably still be the same old modern metagame. I don't know if there'd be this many Eldrazi decks, and it's hard to say because a lot of people are calling for bans right now, you know, for Eye of Ugin or, you know, this card or that card. I don't know what exactly, but I think it's still way too early to tell, you know, to say, hey, we need to ban this card or that card, because no one was prepared for the Eldrazi onslaught going on this weekend, and it's been pretty fun to watch. I mean, yeah, it's nothing but Eldrazi on TV, but for the most part, at least they're new decks. The one I've been impressed with the most was Jiachen Tao's deck. When I saw that, where he's playing Vile Aggregate, Drowner of Hope, Eldrazi Sky Spawner, a lot of people were saying, what is this, a draft deck? And it's been pretty, that probably has been the Eldrazi variant that has been most fun for me personally to watch. I was looking up to see, you know, how much some of the pieces were, you know, like the Eye of Ugin and Eldrazi Temple, but I know what's going to happen right after, you know, this Pro Tour, especially Eye of Ugin and Eldrazi Temple are going to skyrocket. All these Eldrazis are going to skyrocket, like Thought Not Seer and Drowner of Hope, whatever else, whatever other ones. They're all going to just go crazy. So, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, what's going to happen with the metagame. People are just going to have to, just like anything, learn to sideboard against it. As I was saying before, no one was prepared for this kind of onslaught, and I don't think anyone could really have seen this coming. And what I find even crazier was that all of these, especially a lot of these Eldrazi, they're all from the newest set. I mean, I was even reading some posts on there saying, oh, it's all a conspiracy from Wizards. They're trying to sell the latest set so, you know, they can sell packs, because Ian Duke was saying, just oh so subtly said, you know, oh, this was our goal to have these broken Eldrazi, something along the lines of that. I read that comment just thinking, you got to be kidding me, come on. I don't think Wizards can foresee or even guess half the time what the metagame may be like. I mean, they may have an idea, but I don't think they had any idea that it was going to be this crazy. If I had to guess at what's going to win tomorrow, and by the time this podcast comes out, everybody's going to know. But at the time, if I had to guess, I would have to guess Affinity will win. Because Affinity is just Affinity is just Affinity. And Affinity is really good. That's just my personal opinion. But hey, we'll find out tomorrow. And if you're listening to this in future land, you're already going to know who wins. So this past Saturday, or not Saturday, today's Saturday, this past Friday, I should say, you know, was Friday Night Magic, as usual, and I'm sure a lot of you went to your local game store and participated in Standard or Modern or Draft or whatever it is you do at your game store. Mine is always typically Standard. And then it really depends. It's my store, the one thing I don't like about my store is they're not very big on draft and sealed. And limited is one of my favorite formats. And so most of the time I try to get my drafting kick in on Magic Online. But last night was Standard, and I brought my mono green Eldrazi deck and went 3-1. Got third place? Yeah, I got third place. Lost only one round, and you know, it was a really close round. Really, really close. Or really close games, I should say, both times that I lost. But I know before I was talking about, you know, my side deck and all the changes I made to it. I was really looking at my cards and completely decided to change them again. I just wanted to go over my sideboard really quick, and I need to update it on my Tapped Out account. But let's see, I'm actually looking at my cards right now. I've got Worldbreaker, which that did help me a couple times. I only really put it in if I knew that, you know, my opponent was going to be playing heavy enchantments, or if I noticed that they started getting land screwed, it's, hey, let me destroy one of their lands. Two Winds of Kalthusma, which helped against aggro last night. Void Winnower, which helped against Abzan, definitely. I decided to put in two Pulse of Murasa. This card definitely saved my butt in the aggro game. Or if I was getting a little mana screwed and it was starting to, you know, become apparent, like, hey, I may die next turn, but let me try to stave it off a little bit. So one of the games, it definitely helped because I was able to trigger my Blighted Fen twice because I was able to pull two Pulse of Murasa, so that definitely helped. From Beyond didn't do much for me last night, but I still find it good if I'm going up against a slower type of deck if I know the game's going to go on long. Natural State, again, I mainly put that in against white decks and four-color Rally. I took out one Roast and just have one Roast in. I have Explosive Vegetation. Warping Whale, I have two copies of that. I was mainly hoping that would be decent against four-color Rally, but I didn't go up against four-color Rally last night, so I didn't get to see if it was any good. I mean, I did sideboard it against Atarka Red, or Atarka Landfall, I should say. You know, just mainly for Monastery Swift Spear or Storm Chaser Mage. Now, they don't play Storm Chaser Mage, never mind. But it didn't see much play. And then I have a Nissa's Renewal and another Jotty Offshoot, which, you know, it's, I took out the Oath of Nissa and the Zendikar Resurgent. Those were just too slow and opted for more removal. I want to try Titan's Presence, which, but the only thing is I don't have a lot of colorless creatures. You know, if I have an opening hand with Ulamog, you know, of course that's going to be good. But like I said, I went 3-1 last night, and my first round was up against Abzan. It was a typical Abzan mid-range, you know, Warden of the First Tree, then Anafenza, Siege Rhino, and I just kept on getting both. It was 2-0 in both games. They just went perfect for me. I was able to, you know, turn 3 Explosive Vegetation, then get out Dragonlord Atarka for, you know, wiping up his board. And then you know, after that, then I was able to, if he tried to play more creatures, then I would just get Ugin out, wipe the board again, just start attacking, or I would get Ulamog out. Game two was much the same as game one, but I was able to get Ulamog out, like, twice, because he was, not Stasis Snare, Suspension Field, my Ulamog, and then I just cast Ulamog again, wiped out his mana base, and just proceeded to win from there. It was really kind of a blowout. It was a good match. Next round was Atarka Landfall, and for some reason the guy didn't bring a sideboard. So it was once again relatively easy. I went 2-1 in that round. Mainly it was another blowout, like, as long as I staved off his early aggression, and that's where Pulse of Morasta came in handy, and Mrs. Renewal came in handy a lot, too. Gaining that 7 life was very invaluable to the game, and much of the same, just, you know, doing, like, a turn 5, you know, Dragon's Lord Atarka was just crazy. Hold on a second. Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay. And the next round, the third round, was Black-White Tokens. And even though I went 0-2, both games were really, really close. They were, he had this combo of, like, having Zulaport Cutthroat, Brutal Horde Chief, Secure the Waste, Liliana. And he kept draining my life over and over again. And by the time I would get a board out or get any kind of threat out, he would either, you know, silk wrap it or suspension field it or stasis snare, whichever. And it just, by the time I get something out, it just wasn't good enough. Or I would get some threats out and he would Brutal Horde Chief make me block, use all my creatures to block one little guy, and just wasn't good enough. So I tried. Like I said, both games that I lost came really, really close and just wasn't enough. What the second game was pretty funny, though. I swung and did 19 damage to him in my last turn because he somehow got it back up to 20 life, and just, I could not do that one point of damage. If I just had something to be able to do one more damage or be able to stay alive for one more turn, it would have been over, but as it goes, you know, it happens. It was a fun game, though, and the guy I go up against, he and I are kind of buddies, and we've been playing with each other for, you know, a while now, and it was fun. So, I mean, no hard feelings, really. And the last one was against Abzan again, and much of the same thing. I was just able to get out, you know, Ulamog, Kozilek, or Atarka out really quick, and and just destroy the board. And overall, I feel like I played pretty well. I'm really, really enjoying playing the Mono Green Eldrazi ramp deck. I think so far, besides Landfall, it's been my favorite deck of this standard. It brings out my inner Timmy. It brings out that, hey, I can play big, dumb creatures, such as, like, Ulamog, and, or, I really love Oblivion Sower. I see a lot of lists not running him, really, but he has been so much value for me. Even if I don't get any lands, there's still a good chance that, hey, I got rid of some of their key pieces that they need, or I slowed them down for a couple more turns. So, it's been a really fun deck, and yeah, this Monday I'll be going to Modern Night Monday, and test out more elves. I'm almost done with my Grixis Delver deck, but now with these Eldrazis coming out, shit, it's making me want to build an Eldrazi deck, but that's what everybody's going to be sideboard hating against, so I'm almost done with my Grixis Delver deck. I just need two more Snapcasters, then I'm done. I got the second Snapcaster last night, and I'm trying to sell 3 Expedition lands. I got the Sunken Mires, Twilight No, Sunken Temple, Twilight Mire, and Tectonic Edge Expeditions for my Oath of Gatewatch boxes, and trying to just sell them. So I can, if I sell all three, that I'll be able to buy the rest of the Snapcasters. So we'll see how that goes. I could buy them outright right now, but my wife would not be too happy. Let me tell you what. She'd be like, why the fuck are you spending all this money on magic cards? She wouldn't really be like that, and nor does she really talk like that, but it's all good, though. It's all good. Okay. So, let's dive into our main topic tonight. Talking about deck archetypes. And as I was saying, this is going to be mainly geared for people going from the kitchen table to, you know, just their local game store, going to Friday Night Magic. And as I was saying, there are a lot of different deck archetypes that are in Magic. A lot of it is, you know, I guess, hold on, I'm going to edit this out. Okay. So, as I was saying, there's a lot of deck archetypes that are in Magic, and, oh God, I'm losing my pace here. I gotta edit all this shit out. Okay. So, there's a lot of archetypes out there, and, you know, as I was saying, we're just going to briefly go over the 5. We'll just go over the 5 main archetypes you may go up against. Like I said, I'm not going to go too deep into some of the hybrid archetypes. You know, like aggro control or aggro combo control or control combo mid-range, stuff like that. And these are just going to be brief overviews, just so when you're going in, you kind of understand what to expect. First deck archetype we will talk about is aggro. Aggro is one of the more popular archetypes. To me, and I'm sure a lot of people recognize this, aggro is one of the easier deck archetypes to play when you're first starting out, too. Not saying that it's the complete easiest, nor is it you have to be brain dead to play, because, you know, sometimes it's tough, especially when you're up against an aggro mirror. I've noticed aggro mirrors take longer than control mirrors sometimes. Not all the times, but you get what I'm saying. It's whenever there's a rotation that happens, especially in standard aggro, seems to be the more common archetype that a lot of people lean to, and that's what I've noticed, especially in my area. It could be different depending on your local meta, as usual. But it's definitely one because it's easy, and it gives easy wins. Especially, you know, aggro can definitely give you easy game one wins, and is the best plan to have a good sideboard with it too. And because if you have a crappy sideboard, then aggro can just fall apart. Because especially, you know, most of the time, hopefully most of the time, your opponent is going to have a sideboard that can stop you or slow you down. But, and also, depending on the format, it can be one of the cheapest to invest in as well. Because mainly, you're going to be looking for low-to-the-ground, cheap creatures to cast that can be quick and do a lot of damage. Or if you're playing the burn type of aggro, you're playing a lot of cheap spells, and you don't even care about the damage you take. You just want to go in there and kill and win, no matter what it takes. So as I was saying, it's one of the more common ones you see when standard rotates. And it's apparently in modern right now, it is the kind of format to play right now. Just aggro. Complete aggro. It seems like control and combo and everything else is just taking off to the side, but let's not get into that. The next one we can discuss is control. It's personally, this is probably my favorite archetype. It is one of the harder archetypes to play, and I say that because you're not in a race to win. It's a game of attrition, and you're not going to be proactive at all. You're going to be extremely reactive during the entire time that you play. You're always going to be, especially with control, most of the time, you're going to be playing counter spells, a lot of removal spells. It's really an archetype that requires a lot of thinking. Not that all archetypes require thinking, but I mean in the sense of, you know, you have to, it's sort of one of the ones that you really have to be able to see ahead and be able to make sure that the play that you're doing right now, you're not going to get screwed the next turn. Or, you know, if I counter this spell right now, will I be okay, you know, the next turn or something like that. It's one that's a little bit more advanced. I don't recommend it to beginners at all. I mean, if you're really familiar with Magic and you've been playing it for a while, yeah, go for it. But for someone just coming into the game, I don't recommend control at all. Normally, I don't recommend it to beginners. It's, like I say, it's one that involves you really having to know the format you're playing. The next one is Combo. This is another hard deck archetype to play. It typically uses a combination of cards to create a powerful effect. Let me look up some combo examples. I mean, Storm is a combo deck. It's where, I don't even know really how to describe Storm. I don't really play Storm. So I know Storm is where, you know, after so many spells you play, you know, I'm not even going to try to explain it, because I don't know. No, but a combo deck right now is like four-color Rally and Standard, where you have the Nantugo Husk, the Zulaport Cutthroat, and just be able to combo off of that with, you know, Rally the Ancestors, Collected Company, etc. There's the new Eldrazi Displacer combo I've been seeing pop up, where, you know, like, for example, what's the one? Things like Eldrazi Displacer, Brood Monitor, just be able to create a whole bunch of 1/1 tokens. And God, there's probably another key piece, I think Catacomb Sifter, to allow you to keep scrying for whatever piece you need. But yeah, combo, that's another hard archetype to play, and one I don't recommend to newer players. It can be really fun. Combo is one of my favorite archetypes also. I don't typically play combo unless you count elves, and yeah, I guess elves and legacy would be combo, because I'm slowly building an elf legacy deck. And when I mean slowly, I mean I'll get to it eventually. And elves in modern is kind of combo, because you can generate a lot of mana, and especially depending on how you build it, you can, you know, get out a big creature with cord or something like that. But yeah, another example of combo would be from the previous standard, the Jeskai Ascendancy combo with Helix Pinnacle, like Ornithopter or some zero cost artifact, and just keep playing that. You can either mill out your opponent or just buff a creature really, really big and kill him. Yeah, but like I said, it's not an interactive deck usually. It's, you know, there's the whole, you know, you see combo in Vintage or Legacy that can go off turn one, turn two. I'm not too familiar with those. I'm not too familiar with those formats. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. And it just basically uses a combination of cards to create a powerful effect that can kill your opponent, you know, usually that turn. The next archetype we're going to talk about is Ramp. This is another fairly easy deck archetype to play. Its main goal is to get a lot of mana quickly and play really big, dumb spells. So, like, the mono green Eldrazi ramp deck I'm playing is basically a perfect example of a ramp deck. Get mana quickly, play big spells, and win the game. My Kruphix God of Horizons EDH deck is a ramp deck also. My main goal is to get a lot of land, get Kruphix out, start saving up mana, play big dumb spells, and win. That's pretty much it. Another example of a ramp deck in Modern would be Tron. You know, get the Tron pieces as quick as you can, and once Tron is assembled, play big dumb spells like Ugin, Karn, and, you know, Worm Coil Engine. It all depends on what type of Tron you're playing, but... And it's usually pretty weak to control and aggro. It really depends. Like, if you're able to interrupt them or disrupt them being able to get lands quickly, they're pretty much going to fizzle off. But if you let them keep getting those lands, yeah, you're kind of done. And unless you have, like, land destruction. But I also can recommend this to newer players as well. It's an easier deck archetype. I mean, compared to controller combo, yeah, it's a lot easier. The last deck archetype we are going to discuss here, at least in depth a little bit, will be mid-range. As the name implies, you're going to play mid-game threats. I consider this about medium difficulty playstyle. It's sort of a cross between aggro and ramp, because you're mid-range, you're going to want a good tempo. And what they mean by tempo is you're doing something on turn one, then turn two, turn three. And by turn three or four, you want to be able to, you know, have a good number of creatures out. You know, you're never going to really be playing big creatures late game most of the time with mid-range. And... You're just going to basically want to overwhelm the opponent. A good example of, like, mid-range would be the previous Abzan mid-range where you, from before Battle for Zendikar, where you turn two, Heir of the Wilds or something else, and then turn three, Anafenza, turn four, Siege Rhino, turn five, Siege Rhino, turn six, Siege Rhino, win. I mean, that's pretty much it. And like I said, it's about medium difficulty, and I say that only because it's similar to aggro, but it's not. And you can easily turn it into like a control style from the mid game or from the sideboard. All right, so those are the main deck archetypes I'm going to be talking about tonight. Like I said before, when you're first going to FNM, if you want to get into standard or whatever format, you know, really look at the deck archetypes you're interested in wanting to play. It's, you know, just see what feels right for you. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about what everybody's playing in the metagame at first until, you know, try all the archetypes. Try them out online, try them out, you know, with friends. It's just get a feel for what you feel comfortable with and what you enjoy. I mean, that's the end of it when coming to first trying to get competitive and play what you enjoy. And that's about it. Just like to thank everybody for listening. And, you know, if you can follow me more on Twitter and at Zubatron, Zubatron, or at Magic with Zuby. And I also have blog and articles that I'm writing on mtgzuby.blogspot.com. And thanks for listening, and have a great one.